because I'm going to talk about hams this morning. So the title of my sermon is Precious Lord, Take My Hand, and toward the end of the sermon I'm going to talk quite a bit about Jesus' hands and other hands as well. So it is Valentine's Day, so I would be remiss if I didn't say Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Happy Valentine's to my Valentine. And a shout out and Happy Valentine's Day to Crystal, who is listening right now. And I want to let her know that Jesus loves her very much, and so do I. In today's scripture, Jesus once again uses the example of a shepherd. And in our previous lesson, he went into greater detail about all the people involved in shepherding. He spoke about the hired hand who would not risk his life for the sheep. He talked about the watchman who stands at the gate and lets the sheep in and out. And he finally talked about the shepherd who knew his sheep well, and his sheep knew him well, even his voice. So you could have 500 sheep in a pen, and if 200 were this shepherd, they would recognize his voice, and they would come to him. And it's amazing. In today's scripture, though, Jesus is going to focus on the shepherd and not the other people involved. Verse 22, then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. Now, can you go to the picture there, honey? 165 years before Christ's birth, the temple was defiled when Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig on the altar. Following that, Judas Maccabeus then cleansed the temple and it was rededicated. And this is the feast of dedication that they're talking about. It's celebrated in the winter months and it's now called the Feast of Lights or Hanukkah. But Jesus was walking through this large roofed breezeway, much like our breezeway that we have on the entrance of the church, except a whole lot larger. So see the columns? And it's covering, and so they're out of the sun, and it's inside the temple courtyard. Verse 22, the Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." What they really meant here, if you're the Christ, give us some proof right now. They really wanted a Messiah in the worst way, but for the wrong reasons. They were sick of the Roman persecution and they wanted the Romans out of the country. They wanted a strong military leader who would come and overcome the Romans and drive them out. Others wanted Jesus to incriminate himself through what they believed was blasphemy. That would be all it would take to punish him severely. So they were baiting him. In verse 25, Jesus answers them, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do are in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Does Jesus still speak to followers today?
Yes.
It's an interesting question. Everybody was quick to answer yes, right? But how many times have we doubted our Lord's ability to handle our problems? I'm talking about Christians too, not unbelievers. How many times have we questioned God's ability and doubted God's ability to handle our problems? When we are filled with fear over a virus or angry at what seems to be deceit winning in our lives, in our jobs, in our country, are we putting Jesus on hold? Or do we believe that his voice is still there speaking to us? Do we listen for his leading? We have to recognize that this earth is Satan's domain, and we're living in it. He is going to tempt us. He is going to mess with us. He is going to take every individual's weakest point and come after us. Sometimes it's not so clear to us when life is going on without many trials, and so we stay very positive and we say, God's got us. That's a popular saying today. God's got me. God's got us. But when it appears that evil is winning all around us, in every environment, even in our neighborhoods, then it is too difficult for us to believe that God is always there and always in charge. This is when we're forced to our knees and we're tested. Maybe even like the testing of Job. We will suffer here on earth. But like Paul said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Joshua took a stand too as he stated, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to cling on to these verses today more than ever. More than ever. Jesus was very clearly telling the Pharisees that his miracles should be enough to vouch for him. But they could not reason or deduct. They could not see or hear because they were not his sheep. We want to bring everybody we know into a life of ultimate peace shared with Jesus' influence in our day-to-day activities. But many, many will continue with scales on their eyes. We have to do all we can in sharing Jesus, and then we have to pray like crazy for those that we love to open their hearts just enough to hear his voice and to know him. He will make himself readily available when we ask. So why do we keep our mouths closed from witnessing to others at every opportunity? Here's a small example of how easy sharing can be. Marcella's been sharing at work with her friends. She's been praying for her friends at work when they're having a bad day. Christina's been leaving brochures on the bus. In fact, we have a visitor today that's here because Christina left a brochure on a bus. It's not that hard, people. Verse 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Now he was beginning to lose them. The Jewish leaders did not want Jesus to mention eternal life. That was blasphemy in their minds. They understood the protection part, but the gift of eternal life would not be tolerated in their temple. The protection Jesus spoke of for those committed to following him was for those who were committed to following him. It's the protection of eternal life, the real life, beyond the troubles of this world. For those that were open to Jesus' word, there came a comfort in knowing that he was a good teacher. But he was more than a good teacher. He had the words of eternal life. It didn't matter what happened to them, what they went through in this life, he had the words of eternal life beyond this. Because our soul never dies. The leaders didn't understand that no matter what kind of persecution they inflicted on the followers of Jesus, their eternal life was already guaranteed, as is ours. No one could snatch them away. There's a peace for all of us in knowing that even death cannot separate us from Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Satan is fighting for every single Christian that's sitting here today. He's going to test you every day. He will test you to get frustrated. He will rob your sleep. He will get you angry. He will get you defensive. He will tempt you with drugs or alcohol to help you relax. He's actively working in your life right now to snatch you away from Jesus Christ. And that may mean that we have to do some suffering here on earth. But Jesus said and still says that no one can snatch them from his hand. He is saying that he will hold us even through earthly trouble, because no one can gain us eternally. No matter what we go through here, he has got his hand on us, and no one can change our eternity. The trial is brief, but eternity is forever. In the late 60s, when I was listening to the radio, there was a song that was popular, and it was called Grandma's Hands. You remember that? Anybody? Am I the only old person here? Grandma's Hands. Okay. It was about the memory of a child and his grandmother's hands. His grandmother, who used those hands to cook and to clean and kept the house in order in his family life, but also used those hands to comfort him and hold him. I can honestly say that I have seen the hand of God guiding and directing Rick in my life over the last 46 years. He has saved us from many, many stupid plans that we had. He has saved us from alcoholism, from following schemes that were presented to us, and every, what do you call those, pyramid plan, and yeah, every one of them. We've been presented all of those. He saved us from staying in California even when we didn't know why we were moving to Arizona.
Hallelujah.
He carried us through times of very low income and oatmeal and salt and soda crackers. He carried us through times of lack of resources. He blessed us with an extra room in our house that we really didn't think we needed. But then that room was a refuge for several people. He answered prayers for our children and our parents. We've seen miracles, and we've had the privilege of prayerfully helping others to see them. We've learned firsthand, no pun intended, what that big shepherd's hand really means. It means we must never give up, because there's a God that's standing right next to us, fighting our battles. His voice is the clearest and the strongest in our life. His hands are the strongest and the sturdiest force in our lives. Habakkuk says, "Rays flashed from his hands." In Exodus it says, "His hands shattered the enemy and brought the Israelites out of captivity." These are strong hands. These are mighty hands, holding us through our battles. These are the same hands that laid the planets in place and parted the Red Sea. He can handle your problems. And he knows and he loves us enough to have a desire to handle our problems too. So why do we doubt? I know, Grandma's hands. Do you see yourself in the hand of the shepherd? Ask yourself, how am I doing today at following my shepherd? Am I seeking his voice, or am I shouting my one-way prayers at God in frustration? I recently heard a quote, and I don't know the source of it, but it's, if God doesn't move the mountain, he will give you the ability to climb over it. I know that's true. There's times we've had to hike over the mountain, but he has never, ever forsaken us. Satan and his demons, right here on earth simply do not have great enough power to override those loving hands. So why do we fear? Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Now Jesus had gone too far. He claimed to be related to the Almighty God and even one with Him. This is the clearest statement Jesus made in the Bible to show His divinity. He and the Father are not just the same in nature. He and the Father are not just the same in spirit, but they are one in every nature. They are one. And nothing could persuade the Jewish leaders that Jesus' claim was true. In fact, His mere speaking about being one with the Father drove them away because they were not ready to listen. They wanted the Messiah, but they were not open to hearing the words that God spoke before them. Spurgeon said, the one way by which a soul is saved is by that soul's abiding in Christ. If it did not abide in Christ, it would be cast forth as a branch and be withered. My word of the year last year was abide. I learned a lot about the word abide. Most of the followers of Jesus Christ have had euphoric moments of abiding in Him. Maybe it's in a worship service when you hear one of your favorite songs, or it's a quiet moment alone with Him in your yard. Maybe it was when you heard a song that truly moved your soul to complete and utter worship of God, ignoring any distractions. But if we're honest, we have also had moments when we asked, where are you in this, Lord? Why are you allowing this? Will good really triumph over evil in my job, in my environments? Abiding in Christ, as Spurgeon says, means resting in knowledge of Him. It has to be faith so strong that it can relatively quickly override our sense of anger and loss and fear. He already knows our failings, and He has still gifted us with eternal life. That in itself is wonderful. An eternal shepherd watching over us. Spurgeon had another great example. When a man stands in water, the flood might naturally have the power to drown him. But as long as his head remains above the water, the flood cannot drown his feet and cannot drown his hands. Because Christ, the head, cannot die and cannot be destroyed, all the floods that come upon the members of His body shall not, cannot destroy them. Amen?
Amen?
He went on to say that we might be subjects of some doubt if not for the Holy Spirit abiding in us. It's the Holy Spirit that we call on for guidance, for discernment. And that alone can remove our fear. As we believe, we begin a life of holiness. So what is a life of holiness? I don't always feel too holy. So what's a life of holiness? It begins when we hate our past sins, even our sins 30 seconds past. When we begin to hate our sins, we begin to grow in a life of holiness. We can be surprised by temptations and we can lose our watchfulness temporarily, but our faith is what brings us back to our knees and back to repentance. And therefore, we won't perish. We will not be snatched from His hand. See, the word hand in the Bible refers to more than a physical hand. It also refers to the provision that God has given for us. The hand that holds us is the same hand that provides for us, the same hand that grabbed us in the first place and gave us eternal life, the life beyond this struggle on earth. I feel safe and secure. COVID may take my physical life, but it cannot take my eternity with Jesus Christ. Satan may work very hard to frustrate me, and he does. He may try to cause me to self-focus, and he does. He may try to cause me to think about my problems, and he does. But he cannot stretch me out of and snatch me out of the comforting hand of Jesus Christ, who will carry me through my troubles all the way to the other side. Jesus asks very little of me. Number one, he wants me to have my heart in the game. Connect my heart to his so I can readily hear his voice. When I hear his voice, I can then be led by the Holy Spirit. Number two, he asked me to stand firm in that security of knowing that he's got me. He is mighty to save me. No one can snatch me from his grip. And number three, he says, let him put his arms around me and hold me securely as life pushes me about. I need not fear because my head is still being held above the water. I'm in his arms, and he is stronger than all the forces of evil. The forces of evil will never prevail over me. I am his, and he is mine. And in so doing, then, we receive that peace that passes what we can mentally understand. That peace that is way beyond anything that we can figure out. We have that peace. We receive deliverance from every evil force that is working hard to pull us away. With just his name, Jesus, we have the power to banish Satan out of our lives like popping a water balloon. Reverend Mark Orr said that Jesus wants to rescue us from the sin that keeps us bound. His hand on us gives us favor. And we can enter the battle this week knowing that we have been given strength in his hands and we can listen to his voice. So focus for just a minute on what sin he is trying to rescue you from. What is keeping you bound right now? We have to take time to know Jesus well through his word in order to hear his voice and to know his voice. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens by us abiding in him. In Hebrews 1, we're told that God speaks to us most clearly through his Son, Jesus Christ. The result will then be the leading of the Holy Spirit, that voice of discernment in our walk. I often said to the gals in the jail, have you ever had that moment inside when you were about to do something and there was that feeling in your gut, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing right now? And you had to make a choice to either go ahead and go with it or to walk away from it. That gut feeling, that voice inside you, that's called the Holy Spirit. That's the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And when we are open to his guiding, there is nothing going to take us from Jesus Christ. Through the Lord's calming and peaceful voice, we start to receive a calm, even during tough times, even when we can't understand. Knowing his powerful hand is guiding us and his authority, we don't need to fear anything in this world. The more we surrender to him, the more Satan is going to be turned away from our lives. I'm going to close with a story from Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors. He tells a story about a lady in Ireland at the turn of the century, at 1900 century. She was very wealthy, but kind of frugal. Her home was the very first in her county to get electricity. But the meter reader found that hardly any electricity had been used by her. So the meter reader knocked on her door. And he said, "You know, your meter shows that you've hardly used any electricity. This new thing called electricity in your house, it's very wonderful and very powerful, and you've hardly used any. Do you use it?" And she said, "Yes, I use it every single night." He said, "Really?" She said, "Yes, I turn on all the lights, and then I light every candle in my house, and then I turn the power back off again." She had the power, but she didn't use it. Have you surrendered to Jesus for salvation but haven't turned on the power of the Holy Spirit? What would be different in your life right now going forward if you expected the power of the Holy Spirit? If you expected miracles to be happening all around you? Through His strong hands and through His shepherd's voice and through the continuing guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, help us. Help us walk intentionally with all our heart toward You at all times. Help us to stand firm in Your Word when so many opinions are coming at us. Help us to surrender fully to Your strong hands and Your loving arms that will not allow us to be taken by Satan. It is Your strong hands to which we now command every part of our spirit to be guided by You, our loving Shepherd. Amen.